Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, it is so good to be here with you today. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Pastor Nathan, and we've got an exciting announcement. Pastor Shino mentioned it earlier. I am looking forward to seeing some of you, probably not all of you, because we understand that this is a time that we each have our own convictions and limits, but I'm looking forward to seeing some of you on August 16th as we regather. And as we come into that moment, I've been thinking about how we have been apart now for 5 months. We have been in worshiping in our own spaces and places across the tri-state region. People have been tuning into our services from around the world. We've used this technology, but man, church is so much more than a video. It's always been more than a video. Church has always been a people, and it's not just a people. It's not just a person. It's not just one person in one place and another person in another place. It's those people forming together to become the body of Christ. And we've been separate for 5 months. We've been apart for a long time. We've done what's necessary out of love for one another and love for our city. We've done what's necessary in this time. But I believe that God is bringing us into a new time where some of us are going to regather. And as we do it, we want to do it prayerfully, we want to do it safely, and we also want to do it under the power and the protection of God, which is why, friends, we're going to be calling a fast. Between August 11th and 13th, we're going to be calling a fast. And this is because we know that as we've not been gathered for 5 months, a lot has happened. We've all experienced levels of pain and grief and sorrow and loss, whether it's the loss of jobs or the loss of loved ones or the pain of seeing injustice and racism just erupt on our streets. It's been a painful time. It's brought up a lot. And it's easy in this moment to feel like my church family is not with me. They haven't experienced what I've experienced. They don't know what I know. They haven't been through what I've been through. But friends, we have been through different experiences, but that does not mean that we're disjointed. That does not mean that we're apart. That does not mean that we're not in this together, and it's time to be in this together, not just mentally or spiritually or in word, but also in body and flesh. It's time to get together. And we want to do so, as I said earlier, prayerfully. So we're fasting. We're fasting, we're praying, we're seeking God, and we're asking Him, God, would you reunite our hearts as we come together? Would you reunite our faith? Because again, our faith is about so much more than just us as well. It's about our city. We've got a city that's hurting for so many reasons. It's hurting, it's broken. And if we can't get together, if we can't pray together, if we can't unite together, if we can't create something that's worth inviting somebody into, then we don't want to do it at all. And so it's time to pray for unity. It's time to pray for protection. And it's time to pray for power. As we gather on the 16th, I believe that God is going to meet us. And friends, this is just a one-time deal. We're going to do it once, figure it out, and move forward together from there. So now, today, I'm going to continue in our Love Is series. We've been doing this as we prepare as a church to go into an election season. We've been doing this as we prepare to come together. We've been doing this because Paul wrote this incredible 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to a church that was not united, to a church that was going through some struggles. And I don't believe that we are disunited in this season, but I know that there is misunderstandings. I know that there are things that we don't feel like we're eye to eye. We don't feel like we're working together. And it's like our body of believers, like muscles have atrophied. We've not gotten together and sang. We've not sung our fight songs. We've not taken communion together. We've not prayed together. And so it's time to start re-getting these muscles ready. And this Love Is series is part of that. How do we unite a diverse church, a diverse in age and stage, a diverse in language, diverse in ethnicity? How do we unite different people? Diverse in the way that we vote. It's through love. It's through loving one another. How do we remain consistent under trial? It's through love. How do we win the person rather than just the argument? It's through love. How is the gospel, the good news that God loves us, applied to our lives practically and in real life? It's through love. And so I believe that I need more love. I believe this world needs more love. And the way that we get it into us is through God working a miracle in our hearts, God transforming our hearts to love people that aren't like us, to love people even when we're under pressure, to love people even when we feel empty, to love even when we're broken, to love. And so we're taking a look at what love is. And I'm sure that you've probably thought of some people that, yeah, I wish they would love me like that. Yeah, I think so-and-so, they need a message. But friends, we're not responsible for them. So go on ahead and put them on the shelf. You don't need to be thinking about them right now. You don't need to be thinking about that person that you wish would love you. You're only responsible for you. And so as we go through this, take these words, and as much as is possible, apply the mirror. Put them to yourself and ask, how can I grow in love? I guarantee you, I've been doing it in my own time as well. So Paul writes this to his church in Corinth. He says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have all prophetic power and all understanding and all the understanding of mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." Let's pray together as we look at these words, particularly today. We're looking at love does not boast. God, I thank you that you're doing a work in our hearts today. I thank you that your presence and power is here and it's moving through the homes. It's moving over YouTube. God, you're moving through Facebook, these weird man-made systems to deliver this message. God, I pray that the people that hear this, that we would be touched, changed, and transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I think about a boast, typically I think of a verbal statement of how I'm better than you. And I've got little kids, and they love to brag, and they love to boast, and they love to tell what toys they have. And I typically think of that as a boast, and that certainly is a boast. Paul was writing to a church that had a bit of that. 1 Corinthians 1 or 2, he talks about how some, they were having these arguments, and they would say, "I'm of Paul," or "I'm of Apollos," or I'm of Christ," you know, and they were boasting about what theological or teaching background they were from, who baptized them, and what claim they had to the big, high-up Christians and the early church, the celebrities of their church days at that time. And that might sound weird to you, but it's not like we're going around saying I'm of Shino, or I'm of Pastor Bruce, I'm of Pastor Ron. That would sound really weird. At least it would sound weird to me. Maybe y'all are doing that. If you are, you can please stop. Cut that out. But there is a moral brag that happens. There is a moral superiority that we say implicitly, explicitly. I'm pro-life. I'm anti-racist. I'm a vegan. Whatever it is that we like to put on the morality that we've chosen to ascribe to that makes us feel better than our neighbor, that's a boast. That's a boast. And so I think that, you know, it's easy to think that just kids boast or brag, but I see a lot of adults boasting and bragging too. We do it verbally. We tell people. We signal to people. We like to virtue signal what team we're on, how we're playing. We put the right thing on our Facebook or on our YouTube. Sometimes it has actions behind it. Most of the time it doesn't. Most of the time it's hollow. I hope it's real. I don't know. Boasting happens. The moral brag happens. And Paul reminds us that if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Which is basically saying is that you can be right, but express it wrongly. That sometimes our very rightness cancels out our love. It becomes a boast. It becomes an expression of how I'm right and you're wrong, and my love ends. Because I'm not trying to win a friend. I'm not trying to get close to somebody. I'm not trying to actually change somebody's mind. I'm just trying to express that I'm right and you, friend, are wrong. So the boast is real. The boast is real. And I'm sure that you can think about somebody to apply this to, but again, let's try to start with ourselves. Let's try to start with who and what we're responsible for. The moral brag is real. Let's take a step further, because sin, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sin always comes out of the heart. When we do something wrong, it always originates first deep down in our heart. And when I think about bragging, and when I think about putting on something to help us feel better about ourselves, I go all the way back to our great-great-grandfathers, Adam and Eve, in the garden. When they sinned against God, they immediately realized their nakedness. They immediately realized their insufficiency in the presence of one another and of God, and they sewed fig leaves together. They created something that helped them feel better about themselves. They created something. They put something on themselves so that they didn't feel so bad about being next to one another. We do this all the time today. We put stuff on ourselves to prove ourselves worthy to be in the room, to prove ourselves worthy of being friends with somebody, to prove ourselves worthy of going on that date or having that girlfriend or boyfriend or being friends or going to that college or getting that job. We puff ourselves up. We put stuff on to help us feel okay about ourselves. We're making stuff constantly in order to feel okay. They covered themselves. They put on something extra. And today we cover ourselves in our achievements. We cover ourselves in our morality. We cover ourselves with also what we've gone through. Oh, you went to Yale? I went to the School of Hard Knocks. Or whatever the case might be. So I want us to think for a moment, where do you pull from when you need confidence? Where do you go and what do you pull on when you need confidence? When you're walking into a room full of strangers, when you're going to the interview, when you're launching a brand new initiative or you're going on a first date, what is it that you pull on? What is it that you boast in? What is it that you bolster yourself with in that moment? Do you pull on your wisdom? Do you pull on your charm? Do you pull on your good looks? Do you pull on your power? Do you pull on how good you are at speaking or articulating something? Do you pull on how strong you are, how powerful you are? Do you pull on God? Do you pull on His call? Do you pull your confidence from His favor on your life, His love for you, His divine calling and direction and push, that He called you to date that person, that He called you to go into that job interview, that He called you into this city, that He's called you in this moment to accomplish His purposes, that before you were born, He had good works prepared for you to walk in? Do you pull on that? Do you pull on something outside of yourself? At the start of Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, he writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What does that mean? That He became the one that lets you in the room. He became the one that proves your worth. He became the one that says you're supposed to be here. So that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We can boast in the Lord. In New York City, here's the thing. When I read, not many of you were wise, not many of you were powerful, not many of you were noble birth, a lot of us are. A lot of us are wise, powerful. We've got money. Some of us do. Some of us don't. But it's easy for those who have to boast in those things, and it's easy for those who wish they had to look at those things as though those things were the qualifications. As though if only I had that, then I would have. If only I had that money, then I would have the respect or have the ability to get in the room or whatever the case is. And in a funny way, we're all boasting in the same worldly junk as opposed to boasting in God. And so when we are wise, and many of us are powerful, and many of us are successful, we need to change the glory. We need to change the game. We need to change something in us so that it's not those things or our accomplishments or our accolades that are receiving the praise, that are receiving the glory, that are receiving the benefit in that moment. We need to change that. And I'm not talking about humble bragging now. I'm not talking about, oh, you know, I'm so blessed that I got to, you know, go to that incredibly expensive show last night that I bought with my money. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the humble brag. Just remember, the Lord opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Friends, God has provided for you. And it's time to turn every one of our opportunities, every one of our privileges, every one of our experiences, every one of our jobs, every one of the dollars that has come in as something that God has given you. He created it. He made it. He's designed it. And He chose that it might come to you so that you might give glory to God and maybe help somebody else as well. It's time to boast in something bigger than you. It's not about you. God has graced you. God has given you something so that we can help somebody else, so that we can be a part of building somebody else up and not just pushing somebody else down. It's time to recognize that God has brought you to this place, that He maybe gave you a noble birth, that maybe you were given something just by being born. Recognize it. See it. Use it for God's kingdom and God's glory. Use your platform and your privilege not to judge, not to gloat, not to rise up, but to build others up, to raise others up, and see them come up with you. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God's heart is also for those who don't have a worldly boast right now. You're saying, oh, I wish I had some win, something to boast in. That would be kind of nice, something to try to be humble about. I know that there's been a lot of loss, a lot of reshuffling, a lot of pain during this season. I believe God's heart is for you to have victory. God's heart is to elevate you. God's heart is to bring you in so that you have a testimony, so that you have a praise. But right now, what we need to do is praise in our pain, praise in the uncertainty, praise through this moment. Give God the glory because He's good. Give God the glory because He's brought you this far. Give God the glory for everything you can. Thank Him, recognize His work, recognize how, dare I say, it could have been worse. Recognize it, see it. Thank Him for getting you up today. Thank Him. Praise Him. He's worthy of it. How do we handle our successes? We've got to give God the glory. We've got to turn the boast into the praise. We've got to change it from the inside out and turn our hearts into something that's giving God the glory with every step that we take. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. He's worthy of our boast. He's worthy of our praise. He's brought you out. He's set you up. He's bringing you through. He's working for your victory. He's working for your good. It's time to praise Him. It's time to thank Him. It's time to get in His presence. It's time to give Him the glory. It's time to stop white-knuckling it and start to praise Him. Stop operating in your own strength and your own power and give Him the glory. Let's go for it. Let's remember that God wanted to use the foolish things of this world, the things that the world does not count and not credit. That's the things that He wants to use. That's the people that He wants to use. That's the ideas that he wants to use. That's what Paul keeps saying. You weren't this, you weren't that, but God chose you. But God appointed you. But God has called you. And the more that you take your cues, your identity, your moves off of God's playlist, off of God's calling, the more you're going to set up that story for God to work and for that story where God's going to receive the glory. When you boast in the valley, you're going to praise on the mountain. When you boast in God in the valley, you're going to praise God on the mountaintop. Give him the glory. I'm going to close with this passage from Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. If you want to delight God, if you want to be a part of his plan, if you want to be a part of his calling, be a part of justice, be a part of love, be a part of righteousness, which is right relationships with people. Justice is not just punitive justice, but it's also restorative justice. It's bringing people back into their birthright, back into their imago Dei, back into the way God has designed them to be. And also practicing steadfast love, which means hanging in, hanging on, loving people, choosing to love people even when it hurts, because love is continually and always a choice. We love because he first loved us. God has loved you. God has chosen you. He's called you and appointed you for this moment. So friends, let's continue forward in faith and in love, and let's make our boast in God Almighty. Amen. Now I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Shino.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.